Since they wanna know. Since they wanna know. I said, since they wanna know. Here's the formula on O, now let's go.
All right, here we go. We're open for business, ladies and gentlemen. Episode 3. Sorry for the delay. Bet y'all thought that I might have been dropping the ball, but nope, here we are. And we're going to try to keep this thing still on a weekly basis. I'm not going to say which day of the week because why set yourself up for failure in that regard? Anyway, I'm going to cut to the chase a little bit here on this intro. I think one thing that I've been doing is thanking everyone for listening for about 15 minutes, which can get a little bit cringeworthy. So we're going to move on and try to just fire across the bullets as need be. I know as well I'd mentioned that I was going to look to do some virtual open mics and workshops, that sort of deal. And I almost did last week. I have not, so unfortunately we do not have a set to listen to, but I did sign up for one and thought it was Wednesday and it was actually Tuesday. I didn't miss it. I gave notice, but I'd already planned on going grocery shopping, which you're going to hear a little bit about later in the episode. So sorry about that to anyone involved. It was my mistake. And truthfully, I don't know how much I'm ready to workshop anything, especially with like seasoned folks. So that's another thing where I'd rather just do this and hammer out ideas and be ready to go for when I can go back up and perform live in some capacity, which we do hope is sooner than later, but in reality, I have no idea. Come on, baby doll, turn into a teddy bear. That's what my grandpa would say to a putt that he wanted to break a particular way. So what we're going to do is just try to take some of these jokes that are just baby dolls and turn them into beautiful teddy bears that kill every time I go up on stage. I don't know. Let's fucking see. But no, the next guest that we're going to have on here is Kevin Paul Cathcart. Better Business Bureau member and, you know, goes back till I was 3 years old, I think, is where our friendship started. But I legitimately probably wouldn't know how to do any of this shit, even recording equipment, internet, anything that has to do with technology, if it wasn't for Kevin and his entire family even. I mean, the Cathcart household where we first took up the phone cord and dialed up to like AOL, CompuServe, Netscape, all that shit. And we just kind of took off from there. We were recording radio shows back in the day, you know, just on the old boombox tape cassettes and that sort of thing. So we would always have fun doing this. Me and him had been talking about getting a podcast off the ground literally for years. And this is just one of those things where just you have to pull the trigger, which I've mentioned in the past. But even where's my sense of humor come from? A lot has to do with Kevin, our friendship, why we think certain things are funny, and just we have very similar sensibilities in that regard. And we can go down rabbit holes left and right and have hour-long podcasts if need be, but there's going to be plenty coming down the pipeline, and he'll be very much involved moving forward. So not to mention, this was our first go-around and venture into doing a virtual interview, or just a phone interview, I should say, virtual interview. But we had some minor technical difficulties in the beginning, but I think we got it down. So without further ado, guys, this is Kevin Paul Cathcart, KPK, member of the Better Business Bureau. And here goes.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is KPK coming up here, another member of the Better Business Bureau, Kevin Paul Cathcart. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks, man. Glad to be here. Been a listener since day one.
Boom. Chootsie scores. 2 episodes in. Your 100% clearance rate. I'll take it. That's why you're one of the members of the Better Business Bureau. And just to give you guys a little bit of background as well, Kevin is, I grew up across the street from him. He's my best friend of all time, the best man in my wedding, as well as one of the members of the background here at Open for Business Studios. And he's one of the producers of the show, you know, puts together a lot of different notes, segment ideas, that sort of thing. So he's going to be pretty involved here moving forward. And Kevin, I can't thank you enough for joining us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Glad to be here. Glad to do it.
Can you believe that we're living in an actual pandemic right now?
No, not really. I was thinking about this earlier today. There's points in the day where I'll be kind of taken out of the madness, you know, like I'll just be outside playing with Elliot and my son and
yeah,
everything's cool. And then like a photo pops up of McCormick Place completely transformed into all these beds and stuff. And you're like, oh, shit,
that got me too, you know? For sure. That got me too. I was like, holy shit, there's beds. Like, and just picturing myself, like, if I'm in McCormick Place, I'd be like, what, how did I get here? What is going on?
Right.
Just, it would be so insane, so bizarre, but that's the day and age we're living in right now. To give the listeners some context, if you're just getting started a few years down the road, this is during the time of Corona and the COVID-19 or COVID-19. But what else are we going to do besides put together a podcast and try to make some funny shit out of it? So
yeah,
not a lot of April Fool gags going on this year. I'll say that much.
No, it was soured, I think, a little bit. The typical April Fool's hijinks were not in full swing.
I legit, and I was like on Twitter, on the news, I didn't see any. Like, right. No one was even giving it a whirl this year. For the most part, I'm sure there were some assholes, but, you know, it was just like, usually you expect, you know, Google doing something. Everybody, like, has different Instagram things going on. Brands are always like, how can we make this funny? And it was just, nope, no chance.
I don't know where you stand on the April Fool's stuff, but I'm okay with it away a little bit.
I'm totally fine with it, too. Like, I get, you know, you get fooled, like, Led Zeppelin will go back on tour, or, like, when you're not thinking, especially like when it blindsides you,
right?
It's like, well, like I actually will believe something for a second, but
right.
I am fine with it as well.
Yeah. See you later.
So with that said, what I did want to bring you in and kind of try to go over some of the jokes from week one, given that what we're looking to do here is mold these moving forward, especially now that we're in the downtime and quarantine, we can actually put work into these things and make them hopefully funnier by the time I'm allowed to, you know, go back out in public and be up on stage. And so that said, there was quite a bit, you knew where we went wrong right away when I was interviewing Boz, and it was like way too conversational regarding the jokes that I had that I was trying to pitch. I was almost trying to pull material out of our conversation, which I don't believe is the way to go.
Sure. And I had that context, right? So like I know a lot of the background to those stories, so I knew where they were going. But just like my general observation of like the week one to week two was a lot of those jokes were situational in nature or like involved some sort of backstory. And you know, like I could immediately go there because I know how you think, but also too, like I knew the background to a lot of that stuff. But like you had 5 minutes to get there, right? So that's tough because you got to do a little bit of exposition in there to get to those to the joke there with given the appropriate amount of background.
No, totally, and that's a great point. And like when I was up there, I thought 5 minutes was going to be an eternity. Mm-hmm. Like I did not think that I had enough to even come close to filling. And even in my conversation with Boz, he's like, "What are you going to do? You know, if you run out of time or you don't." You like are only have like 3 or 4 minutes or whatever. And I just remember being like, oh, I'm just going to be like later, you know, that's it.
Yeah.
If I can't fill the time, I can't fill the time. And I end up going long, but either way. And that's where I'm not up there to be telling a story in a sense. Mm-hmm. Like I don't have that kind of cred where I'm going to be able to get to a point built on 4 paragraphs worth of dialogue that is not funny. So that's one thing I did learn was like, don't be up there telling the story. Take the absolute funniest beats and lines and try to plug that in.
Totally.
For instance, with like the NBA Jam thing, like that's an elongated story. It involves like, hey, I got a day out, you know, I'm a little older. Should I be at a video game tournament? Like, you know, which doesn't really make a difference, but, and it's that entire buildup to the anxiety level where I could have just said, yeah, I was playing in a retro video game, tournament with a bunch of young 20-year-olds. And then the anxiety hit when I realized I fell asleep. You know what I mean? Like, I made it into this whole giant 2-minute story that wasn't even that good.
Well, it's this crazy fine line you have to walk between, like, setting the scene and giving, like, an appropriate amount of background, but also, like you said, finding the points that actually matter to the ultimate end joke, you know? And it's like, sometimes part of the funniness is the scene, so you want to set it as much as you can, right? But sometimes it's also, like, cutting stuff out just because it's, you know, is relevant is hard to even understand until you get to that end part, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly. And that was my problem. Like, I went up there thinking that I was going to have people's ears at NBA Jam, and it was just blank stares.
Which is sad because it's a great game, so they should be.
It is a great game, and it was like an awesome time, but you know, like a blackout story isn't particularly all that funny, and I don't think it's that funny either. The whole idea was like waking up to, did somebody, you know, did what serious issue happen when there's 30 text messages and 15 missed calls,
right?
And then trying to tie it in to a completely different story that I tried to race through at the end was, I mean, absolutely the wrong route and path to take.
Yeah.
You know, trying to explain like, oh, being on social media and you're putting yourself out there. And then my family saw this one thing. And then it was just like, it didn't work at all.
Yeah.
And that was my, I was like, when I was going into it, I'm like, boom, I got how I'm going to bring everyone back in and finish strong.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, okay, not the case. Talked everyone's ass off for however, like, you know, two and a half minutes of setup and then raced through an end.
Yeah.
It just, I don't know. But that's why I'm doing this thing, to kind of learn how we can mold these things better. And
totally
from that material, what can I pull out to try to make work, if any of it?
Mm-hmm.
And you were actually, now to jump back a few years ago, you were with me, not when I did my first open mic, but when I had attempted to do my first open mic the week previous.
I was there for both. I actually wound up coming back for the open mic too.
You did?
Yeah. Yeah, I was there.
Seriously?
Yep.
Oh, the Hamburg University.
Yep. Yep. It was a tough spot for a newbie.
Oh, okay. Why? And like, that's the thing. Like, and I can't believe that I didn't remember that you were there the second week. Like, I have an outline right here, and that is not a part of it whatsoever. But thanks, Kev. That's some support right there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
I kind of do remember, because I think you hung back with me a little bit longer.
Yep, yep.
After, because there was a few other friends that were hanging out too.
Yep.
Well, anyway, yeah, you were there when I was like getting all amped up the week before, and we got there, and it was like, you know, sheets filled, like, got the full lineup tonight, sheets filled, and I was almost like so grateful that I couldn't go. And then I saw the dudes go up, and I'm like, okay, this is legit. I don't know if I should be starting with the wheel, you know, especially when I don't even have 2 minutes.
And I mean, you possibly got the worst wheel spin you could get, which was what the audience suggestion, right?
Yeah. And so yeah, that's week two. I go up, I'm kind of pumped, I feel decent, I have something to at least say. Looking back, none of it's funny, but I had something to say when I got up there. And then when I was like, just don't land on crowd suggestion or crowd work. Like, otherwise I was going to go around and be like, what do you do for a living? And try to find humor out of that. That would have been better. But then the kid, when they had the crowd suggestion, somebody yelled Hamburger University.
Yep.
And I was not familiar with McDonald's campus, or at least I think I probably knew about it in the back of my mind, but talk about just freezing on stage. And I think my opening line was Hamburger University. Like, do they have music movie theaters at Hamburger University? And then I tried to like go into my set, but it wasn't as bad as honestly the week one episode, but it was bad enough. And I think I was only up there for 2 minutes. As soon as I did see the flashlight, I was like, get me the fuck out of here. I'm like, I'm Tim Mahoney. Thanks guys. And then just bailed as hard as I possibly could.
Yeah, and I think people also, like, they knew that you basically tried to bring it back to what you had prepared, as I think most anyone would. So, like, I actually thought you did a pretty good job of doing that, considering the suggestion you got for Hamburger University. I don't know. What are you going
to... They had to be, like, a corporate outing or something, you know?
Very bizarre suggestion, but... Yeah, I think you kind of did the best you could do with that, given, you know, that was your, you know, second time up or whatever.
It just that those words, Hamburg University, and then they built the campus at the time like 2 blocks away from where I lived.
Yeah.
And it was just like sweet irony in some way. Like, it just continued to haunt me. And I didn't go up afterwards, not because like I felt crushed or anything. It was just because of like late laziness and life gets in the way. But anyways, thanks for coming along, Kev. You really have been through the journey since the Hamburg University days.
for sure.
And with that, like, the jokes from week two, when I did have them a little bit more refined, talking to Potatoes, who's going to be on a little bit later in her segment on the show, but The one that hit that I got a lot of good feedback on was the mispronunciation of words.
Yep.
And specifically the Netflix K.
Yeah.
Or Q.
Yes.
Depending on your preference.
Yes. Now, so I have I noticed this mispronunciation in the past, by the way.
It never stops. And like, even if I know it's the wrong word, like I'll continue to use it, but, and it's not out of like, you know, I'm not trying to get a rise on anybody. That's how I say it. Now I see it. Now I read it. So I thought that could be something that we could work on and actually build into a set. You know, the NBA Jam thing, I'm probably going to have to completely redo, you know, but we'll see what takes from there. We got, God, you know what sucks? Just it's like, what am I going to do the next few weeks? Like, this whole idea was predicated to be based on performing.
Sure.
And then I told you earlier in the week, I had like a workshop set up, but I thought it was more of a virtual open mic.
Mm-hmm.
And even so, it would have been great. However, in my mind, I thought it was Wednesday and I had agreed to do it on Tuesday and then kind of chickened out. But at the same token, like I just wasn't in the mindset to like talk to people like within an hour. So like I'm going to try to continue to do virtual open mics. But what do you think is going to be our best course of action here to keep this thing somewhat funny and interesting?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think that one of the more compelling things is just seeing somebody work through the thought process of refining a joke. Because, you know, and I think you've already started to do it. It's like you tried something, some things you determine aren't going to work, and you might just ditch it completely. And then there's other things where I think you clearly learn that, and I think just from week one to week two, your jokes on week two are a lot more kind of like punchline centric, a lot more refined in terms of just like, I'm going to kind of get in this joke and get it out. And yet they're kind of related too. So like, I think just from week one to week two, you've already made a dramatic shift in kind of what your approach is. At least that's my, you know, perspective from the outside, that these jokes just seem to be a little bit more like you could work them out without having to do a lot of, you know, like I said, exposition. So
like, yeah. And like remolding a story for it to be funny.
Right.
You know, I want to make it like, I want it to be real. And then another thing I heard from some critics is I think I heard that before, like somebody mispronounced Netflix K and I'm like, well, hey, that's fine. But this is my story. This is real.
Yeah.
Like this isn't something that, you know, I heard while I was listening to a comedy special, and there's a fear there too. It's like, well, I don't want to be, I'm not stealing anything. This is as authentic as it gets. It almost wants me not to watch as many specials as I used to.
Yeah. Right.
But that's dumb, because everything that I'm going to be bringing to the table when I can again is going to be more personal, and there's going to be truth based shit. And, but yeah, like my one of my buddies was like, yeah, I think I've heard that before somewhere. I'll look into it. I'm like, no, don't look into it. Like, I want to make, this is going to be my story. That's not going to be the end game joke anyway. Sure. But like, don't look into it. Now you're going to you're totally going to mess with my head. Now I'm never going to do it again. And that's the one that I got the best feedback out of.
Well, you had this kind of throwaway comment, which I thought was like, and I think I texted you afterwards. Like, I think that the when you said like, it's like Spanish class, it's K, it's what I want to watch. Like, I think that might be the punchline. Like, that is like, that's hilarious. Like, at some point, seventh grade Tim in Spanish fused like the question word what with the word Q, you know? And it's like, it just never changed, you know? Like, it's hilarious.
And it's 100% the truth too.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? So with that said, Kev, thanks for coming on again. I know, again, I wasn't as prepared as I probably should be, but you're going to be back. You're going to be behind the scenes on a lot of things. There's a shitload of stories that we could throw in here when, you know, maybe we're lacking some material and try to, you know, pull some gold out of those. However, now is not the time, but you will be back as one of the premier members of the Better Business Bureau.
Sweet.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
And we're going to look forward to having you back on.
Hell yeah, man. Look forward to it. Good luck out
all
there.
All right, guys. That's thank you, dude. That's KPK, and we're going to talk to him a bit down the road. All right.
Cool. You heard about the party being busted, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Not to worry. There's a new fiesta in the making as we speak. It's out at the Moon Tower. Full kegs. Everybody's going to be there. You ought to go.
Okay.
All right, now and here once again, we have the lovely Katie Patates in her own segment. Now, I mean, with this kind of was more of a natural thing, but we're going to entitle the next segment Corn Tates. Tates, thanks for joining once again 3 weeks in a row.
Thanks for having me.
So what we're trying to do here, I always like to say, now what we're trying to accomplish with the Corn Tates idea is, one, we're stuck together for life because we're married. But two, we've been, you know, working hand in hand, literally stuck together now in the house, and it's not something that we're used to. And
right.
You're working from home and you're busy throughout the day. I'm working from home, busy throughout the day. I think we do a good job of.
Well, we keep separate rooms, so right. That helps.
I always think that's a plus. But just two, we've noticed just a lot of like how weird shit actually is right now.
Yeah.
And I feel like we've done, well, first things first, like I think we have done a phenomenal job being quarantined together.
I think so too.
We have Bebop, our wonderful puppers.
Bebop, yeah. He's
amazing. So we do get out, exercise plenty, you know, staying away from folks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's taken some getting used to, I think.
Oh, yeah.
More so for you. You're usually on the go quite a bit. You know, I'm out and about, but do have some experience working from home. So it was a little more natural for myself.
Yeah. I just get antsy. I just feel like I need to be doing something, but it's like, we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, is staying at home.
Right. And even like when we went to the grocery store together.
Oh, God.
A few weeks ago.
That was a nightmare.
It wasn't a few weeks. It feels like a few weeks ago. I think it was
last week.
I'm losing my semblance of time.
Yeah, same.
So we go to the grocery store, local Mariano's down the street. And at this point, now I have been before, right during the announcement of the stay at home, when it was slammed and lines were extremely long. Still not horrible, but you know, I made do. This time we pull up and the parking lot's practically empty.
Yeah, it was like 5:15. I think it was last Wednesday.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
And we're in the parking lot. I'm like, oh, boom, great, too easy. We've never seen it like this. So
yeah, not a lot of people here. This will be great.
Easily be able to stay away from people.
Right, and we had the plan of tag teaming.
Right, so I was going in separate areas and just grabbing like six different things. We weren't trying to take up too much space.
Right.
And legit, like we weren't. Like, and I was like, let me just go get this shit done.
Just trying to get shit done, yeah.
Right, exactly. And like, for instance, this happened to me several times. So two times I've gone to Mariano's during quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
I think I mentioned this to you already, but pretend that you haven't heard it.
Okay.
And I'm not shaming people. I'm probably doing the same exact thing and don't realize it. And like the dude like standing in the orange juice, like he's staring at the bottles of orange juice. And I know that there's a few other fresh squeezes. No, I don't
think you've done that, though.
Well, not during the quarantine.
Right. Every day,
I'm moving. And I know exactly what I want. Yeah. And I'm moving. I'm in and out.
And you can check the color of the orange juice that you want and be like, boom, that's the freshest one. I know. Go.
Yeah, exactly. From a mile away, yeah. Mariano's orange juice is like nectar of the gods.
For sure.
So, I mean, I was waiting maybe for 3 minutes while this guy was standing. And he was also looking at his phone.
Mm.
Month ago, I thought this would have been over the top, but I did not want to go near him.
Yeah.
But I'm like, fuck this. I just went and just snuck in, held my breath, grabbed the orange juice and got out.
Mm-hmm.
Going to get orange juice at a grocery store should not cause these types of social anxiety problems. And I legit did not know if I was going to bother this person. He was already bothering me.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to encroach. You have to give a time limit or something. On
right.
These things.
Well, and the only thing I could think of with his phone is if he went and he used his phone as like the his list of items, and he was looking, or maybe he was like texting his wife or something.
It's just a bad spot. It's in the smack dab corner of the produce where the juices and fresh salads meet the rest of the vegetables.
I agree.
Even not in the quarantine times,
it's still annoying shit.
Quarantades times, I should say, for segment's sake, I like to stay away from people in the grocery store for the most part.
Yeah.
But this time, it's always crowded, and it's still pretty reasonable. And right. Mariano's is big enough. It's somewhat relaxing, but it has been slammed. And I feel like I can get in and out fairly simple.
Well, except for this last time where it was empty.
This is what I'm saying. That's exactly what I was going to lead into. Like, I've been in there when it's slammed, and this time, no one. And it was as if like zombie hordes were following me and you around.
Everywhere.
It was crazy.
I know. I had these two girls following me around. And I think at one point we had met up and you were like, like, move, let's move. And I'm like, I am trying to, but everybody is, these two girls literally followed, I felt like they were following me down every fucking aisle.
Yeah, and
it was so frustrating. And then they were right behind me. I didn't have a mask on. We didn't have masks on. We were just, like, going as fast as we could. Nor did we have gloves. We had the antibacterial stuff, but
still, I think when we separated at one point, I'm pretty sure, and correct me if I'm wrong, I came up to you and was like, hey, is this weird right now?
Yeah.
Are people flooding to us?
Yeah.
We were in an aisle, and I can't remember which one. Let's just say
the pasta aisle, I think.
I think it was the pasta aisle. So, dry goods.
The shelves are pretty bare, so yeah. It's not like you had a lot to look at.
And no one's there.
Right.
2 seconds later, eight people, none of which, like maybe two couples were with one another, but everyone else was solo. Mm-hmm. It was like right on our ass. And I had a few thoughts. It's like, well, even in Mariano's, I said, are we just paranoid right now? Am I freaking out?
Yeah.
And you're like, no, this has been happening to me all over the store. And it's almost like, do people just not know what to do in these situations?
Or so they don't care.
Or they gravitate toward, I don't know. It was alarming. God, what the hell else has happened in the grocery store? What were you saying? It was like a haunted house or something. Oh. But we would turn. Get the fuck out of there.
I read this like on Instagram somewhere. It's like going to the grocery store is like being at a haunted house because when you turn down the aisle, you don't know what to see or you're going to see someone or what to expect. And that's how I felt there. I was like, oh gosh, what's going to be down this aisle? Are there going to be a bunch of people? Because then we have to back it up and hopefully there's not someone behind me or hopefully someone's not trying. You know, it's just.
Yeah, I'm sweating when this is going on.
I'm sweating right now talking about it.
Seriously. Oh my God, potatoes. So nice. So yeah, it was intense. We'll move on from the traumatic topic of grocery shopping.
I'm sure everybody has a story about the grocery
shopping. Everyone probably is in the same boat. The people that were all over on our ass, they might have thought we were doing the same thing. We just, you know, maybe we're shopping for popular items, so that's why we're in the areas. Yeah. But I don't know. That was bizarre. And it was as if people had never been to a grocery store before, let alone, well, I was going to say during a quarantine, which none of us have.
Mm-hmm.
Well, whatever. What are you going to do? Just got to be careful. I mean, game plan, go in, get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
And, and then another thing now that I'm thinking of, then we're in line. Now, all right, so let's play a little, a little devil's advocate, if you will. I know for a fact that people are probably looking at me and certain would be like, can't, why isn't this guy gotten out of the way? And I'm naive to it. Mm-hmm. The same that is the orange juice guy was.
Right.
So I think I gave you like a look, like, what are you talking about? We're checking out.
Oh.
So I don't see the stickers on the ground that are to keep people 6-7 feet apart to space out the lines. I didn't see them. I didn't look at them. I didn't even notice the plexiglass up. Like it just didn't
register.
I think because I was so flustered with the entire shopping experience. Mm-hmm. It's the worst grocery shopping experience I've ever had.
And that says a lot.
At a Mariano's.
Yeah.
I mean, in Mariano's, it's beautiful, but there's no piano music playing anymore.
I know. There was no bar.
You know?
I couldn't get my glass of wine.
It's different. Even in the escalators have been broken forever. You know that's not going to get fixed.
Yeah. We're not knocking Mariano's.
No. Well, it's more of a Kroger thing. After they took over, I heard that the escalators haven't been.
That's true. I read that too.
Yeah. I heard that they haven't been like keeping upkeep on like simple things like escalators and elevators. Yeah. Whatever. That's not my concern right now.
No.
And but we're in line. And then I was like handing the bags like right in the girl's face. And you're like, Tim, like step back. And I'm like, I like looked. It's like almost for every once in a while now, there's like that instant where I react and forget maybe that like subconsciously forget we're in quarantine and I'm like reaching over and like I'm like, you know, close enough to the girl to be like breathing in her direction very much like 4 feet and you're like, Tim, get away. And I like was like, what are you talking about? I'm grabbing the bags. Like, do you want, like, I need to put these in the car. And then I was like, oh God. And then like, I look and I'm like, plexiglass, look down, stickers everywhere.
Yeah.
You stand here. And that was just like, I don't know. Well, the world has been so bizarre.
I think you were actually in the middle of grabbing the bags, but in the aisle next to me, this man was checking out and this woman's like right up on his ass and he finally turned around. He's like, do you know what social distancing is? Like, you need to back up 6 feet. Like, look at that sign. It was the crazy, because then this woman like wasn't having it and he was like, you need to back up. And also, who is on your ass when you're checking out at the grocery store anyway? If someone is literally right behind me, that would annoy the crap out of me.
See, I don't get right behind the people, but I do line up right behind their groceries.
Well, yeah, I do
like,
that
as soon
too,
as the stick is laid down, like, I'm loading up everything I can with the minimal amount of runway I have.
Right, I know. That's the way
but,
to do
yeah,
it.
No, I'm not
but
on
no,
top
she
of
was
the
like
person.
Literally on top of him.
Well,
which is weird, like in an everyday situation.
Yeah. It's quarantine porno, it sounds like the start of. And then
that
seeing,
piano music comes into play
yeah.
all of a sudden.
And then you see, you do see like the memes and like, and they're actually real with a guy with a fun noodle hat on.
Oh, yeah, I saw that today.
And that guy was wearing like an oxygen tank. So it's like, that guy would look like a nut
mm-hmm.
any other time.
Now
this
it's like
entire,
fair play.
I know. I think props. Yeah. Like you got an oxygen tank on and you have to go out to get something. Use your fun noodle helmet.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the best pieces I've seen of somebody
yeah.
actually like stay away from
and
me.
And like that's 6 feet. Like keep that in mind.
And so in the same token, we're going out with Bebop. We walk him regularly. And now when there was one nice day, we're in Chicago, as you guys know. Shout out to Sweden and France. We're
yeah, France.
Yeah, we got the France stepped up the game. We got the Swedes still tuning in.
And Australia.
The whole family that I'm assuming is huddling around their computer, the one listener or two. And so we go out. Like last week or something, it's like the nicest day of the year. And everyone's talked about this. Like they shut down the lake, I think, the next
mm-hmm.
day.
Yeah.
And this was 2 weeks ago.
I think it may have been.
I'm losing, like I said, time is yeah. all over the place. And we walk to a really nice park down the street, and it's like, it's slammed. And there's congregating. It's not
there
just
is.
Slammed and walking dogs.
Right.
There's people, frisbee, beers,
I
all
think we
this.
Actually touched on this on the last episode.
Did we?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe that's why I wanted to start a segment called Quarantadies.
Well, I also brought it up, I think, in the first episode ever, joking, saying, hey, maybe there'll be a Quarantadies episode, not knowing.
Or Tim and Tatey show.
Yeah.
And here we
but
are.
I, yeah,
been,
I guess it is.
Get,
a, I guess
you've been
it is
getting
Tim
the most positive
show.
Feedback out of the entire thing. So now, like, you have to be on. I'm always like, hey, there's, yeah, some background here at Open Forbidden Studios. I'm always like, hey, Kate, you ready to do the podcast? She's like, yeah, whenever. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like always trying to gauge, like, the best possible time. She's like, let's just go. I'm like, all right, let's go. So anyway, but we see people congregating at the park. And that was, like, a little alarming. I'm like, I don't know if this should be happening.
Right.
And then literally the next day, the lake shut down.
Also, I'm sure people are like, well, what are you guys doing at the park? We were walking through the park. We weren't stopping and playing and...
And staying away. I mean, yeah. I'm walking away from people on the
yeah.
sidewalk.
Yeah.
And I don't think that that's being, like, crazy.
No.
At all.
No. Remember we were walking people up the other day, and this mom and her son were walking, and we moved 6 feet out of the way because it's just easier with Bebop. And the little boy goes, thank you.
Oh, yeah. That was hilarious.
Like, how sweet. And it's like that parents have to constantly remind their kid, like, hey, stay 6 feet away. That's just nuts.
And then, so even just walking the dog has been weird, but it's nice as well. Like,
yeah.
That's been
it's the honestly, only reason that we get out and get exercise.
I know. It's
now.
The saving grace of this whole thing is Bebop. He's the sweetest puppers of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And just now another little note is how have we been eating since this whole thing started?
I think it's gone up and down.
Up and down. I've ordered McDonald's out of boredom after midnight like 5 times.
I mean, I have been talking about Popeyes quite a bit today.
It's been nonstop. I'm gaining weight. Like,
yeah,
I am,
but we
I'm,
also
I'm, there is a balance, I guess.
There is. I mean, we've made some really good home cooked meals, like
Doritos casserole.
Well, I made a shrimp pasta verde.
Yeah, that was
meal.
That was like pretty healthy and good. But I made a Doritos casserole that the
which
level
is
of sodium
phenom.
It's great. I think I might have like overdosed on sodium because
yeah.
my body was thrown off the next day.
Yeah,
ridiculously. But what are you going to do, Doritos casserole?
Well, we had that nice brunch.
The brunch was one. That was the best.
That wasn't very healthy, though. The French toast
French,
casserole.
But, I mean, that was like Sunday.
It was a Saturday.
You know, Saturday.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Ended in a day.
So, I don't know. It's been very interesting, to say the least.
It has.
Are you struggling with anything other than just not
yeah.
being able to go anywhere?
Well, I just, you know, I like to go to Target. I like to wander around TJ's or, like, visit my family, see my nephews,
yeah.
see our nieces, like... That's been just like not doing anything.
Yeah, it sucks. I'm starting to lose it.
It's yeah, it's just hard. It's just, I don't know.
And like, I don't, there might be an end in sight for this, but there's not going to be an end in sight for like normalcy.
Right,
for
like
a long
Pritzker
time.
Said, who I love, shout out to Pritzker and Lori Lightfoot. about not having like any summer get-togethers. And also we have a couple weddings coming up, like obviously very upsetting, but it's like, I don't know if those are going to be happening.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything. I have no idea, but who knows? We'll just, I guess, let's see and wait and see how this plays out.
Yeah, it's the name of the game in Quarantades.
Yeah. So in that said, with Quarantades, we still are going to pitch you. I got at least one for you.
All right, lay it on me.
And now this, it goes along the lines in the theme, you know, Quarantades, but Quarantades is going to be a regular segment.
What happens when the quarantine is over? Do I go back? You just drop me?
You're not going to be a featured guest anymore. You're probably going to have your own show at that point.
Oh, okay.
So we'll see how it goes. I'm sure you're going to be on for a long time coming. And so this one, it needs some work, and it's not as refined as you know as I want them to be when I'm pitching these jokes.
Right, but that's the whole point.
I mean, it goes along the lines of Quarantades. So I'm just, and this is also like, so I'm asking the audience, hey, like, does anyone's like wife, girlfriend just start passive aggressively cleaning at the drop of a dime?
Oh, I feel attacked.
No. This isn't an attack. It's a joke.
Okay.
No, we're just talking a joke.
Oh, okay. Go on.
So I'm like, the vacuum, it just like goes right off. Like when you're just having a relaxing little Saturday, like close your eyes and suddenly the significant other just starts power cleaning and you're sitting there in the middle of a Netflix bender, like a relaxing rainy Saturday. Swifter wet and dries are out. And, you know, I only took a bathroom break and the couch cushions are all turned over and baking soda.
Well, to be fair, your bathroom break.
Okay. They're long is what you were going to say. I didn't mean to interrupt.
I was.
Ah, that's the joke. It's not good.
I think you just wanted to give me a little poke there.
I honestly think that if I say like...
I'm sure
for,
other...
like for.
But... I think other men, I'm sure, maybe women have experienced that, but I don't know.
We're not, it's not an attack. I just wanted you to be surprised because I wanted a natural reaction.
Oh. Well, you heard my reaction.
But the best is I could get gasps out of one side of the crowd, whoever does the time. And like, it doesn't really need to be a men
like,
and women
it could
women
be like,
thing.
Woo, yeah.
And then that's what that's where
that's
I think
true.
It
I mean, that's a very relatable thing, I'm sure, because I think in every relationship, there's always one person that's cleaner than the other person.
And it's sometimes people are just not on the same schedule of when they want to clean.
Right.
No, what?
Nothing. Well, I try to do the straightening up thing. That's how I try to say we're cleaning.
All right, we better get off this topic. Otherwise, I think we're going to go into some dark territory, and that's not what Open for Business is about. But I don't know, potatoes. I think we're going to keep doing Quarantades, at least as long as this thing's going on, and I'll figure out something else. We'll work out something for you, too, in the future when this goes away, which hopefully is soon.
Chill. Maybe I could do local restaurant food reviews.
Or bebopping around town.
Oh, yeah. We have been talking about that.
Bebopping around town. And then, like, how we can get material into the stand-up acts.
Because
remember, this is about me.
Right.
You don't think I'm a narcissist, do you?
No.
Have I asked you that on the podcast
Not
already?
On the podcast, no.
But in life, I have.
No.
All right, guys. That's Katie Potatoes. Thank
Stay
you so
safe,
much.
Stay safe, guys.
And that was Quarantades. We'll have her back real soon. Thanks,
Peace.
Guys. That about does it. That about does it here for episode 3. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, gang. All right.
Since they want to know. Since they wanna know, here's the formula on O, now let's go. All I want is what's mine, I don't care who I hurt. Since they wanna know, all I want is what's mine, I don't care who I hurt. Since they wanna know, second round's on me. Obi Trice, Emil hit him. Let's go! Old Trice the Giant, standing a 5'8 stature. Back with a second album supplying your fear factor. But Joe ain't the host, my nigga. You have access to the most. Noted flow on Shady's faction. I ain't being cocky, if so, set my apology. Except, know I process my thoughts logically. First week sales, tops to toe from Tsunami. But haters like to yell, it's the white boy behind me. But you couldn't inhale a flow that's more grimy. It would still prevail if another label signed me. Obi so timely, must Obi remind him. The first nigga to shine solo from the place you find him. Native Detroit, a ghetto reporter. Hit you with some heavy metal for supporting with your quarters. A little something different from the homie from Michigan. Basically, Obi's ripping on any instrument he's given. Come on, I want it, watch my- want to know. Niggas in the whip, all foes say they ain't fucking with tri shit. Somebody's lying, I'm undenying. Denying me means that the driver got influence over you on certain things. Be distinguished, just cause you ain't feeling his favorite MC don't mean you speak no English. Hop out the car, catch the bus, at least you be established as the man that you are. I hate to take it so far and so tedious, but niggas bleed like bitches, I'm truly believing this. Once a month, they wake up with a OB tampon inserted in they nuts. Give them the flux, cause my bucks is up. And no, this ain't eBay, so please be easy. Gotta be delusional to think OB is losing, yo. Let them get a whip of some shit, they quick to abuse it, though. They wanna know. With old selling when I hit him with Van Halen, but it's just the man from the ghetto rebelling. Rebel without a cause. I'm in them Superman drawers, running around the shack mama had us living. Now your man's living an inch from truly killing him. All due to ambition, a gift given from the man who invented him. When the system screws just like Lil Tim and him, but bless the child who maneuvers the senses then. Spitting venom had them same dudes interested in him. My vision's unlimited, music's my outlet. I rock an outfit for all the foul shit I witness. Make it my business to get a listener, one clear description. If you're hearing them, you would catch what I'm pitching. Guarantee it serve your addiction. Come on.